Well, good morning, everybody. I hope your week was as event-filled as mine. I was going to go. Holy cow. I was going to go, and I decided to stay home and work. And in the process, I chopped the top of my finger off. So I'm not doing this to give myself a thumbs up. It is a big thumbs up. So, this morning's already a little different, and it's going to continue to go that way. We had four songs in the beginning, and we usually don't do that. And this little chat up here today is you're going to be involved in. We're going to listen to some music that I chose. I'm going to play some music for you. I'm not going to borrow Matt's guitar. So I'm going to have some songs played. I really want you to, all of them have the lyrics on the board, so I really want you to look at the lyrics, see how they're speaking to you. I'm also going to ask some questions. Of course, I'm going to talk a little bit. It would be kind of boring if I just stood here for 45 minutes to an hour, and we wouldn't have any, you know, just me standing. And then I would really like a response. See what you think. And maybe there won't be any. Okay, we got the ground rules. Let's get started. I have a question. Who likes gifts? Is there anybody in this room that does not like gifts? Can you think about, you know, those amazing gifts that you've gotten as you've lived? I was 9, 10, or 11, and it was my birthday, and the second oldest girl in the house, she took me downtown to buy my birthday presents, and she took me to JCPenney's, Grant's, Sears, Crim's Toy, Harder Sporting Good, the Carroll House, Woolworth's, and Kresge's, and I was allowed to buy anything that I wanted. In every store. We came home with bags. And we walked in, and my oldest sister, who was like my second mom, looked at my sister and said, "You are so selfish. Is that all you bought him?" And proceeded to take me back downtown and to buy everything that I possibly could want. I love receiving gifts. At Christmas time, the tree was there. And everybody's presents were under the tree. My presents were over there. And they just stacked up. Everybody loved me. I was the chosen one, don't you know? I was spoiled rotten. You can ask my wife. When we first got married, our first Christmas together, I looked under the tree and said, "Wait, there's no toys." So I went out and bought myself gifts. Well, you have to have toys, but can you remember those gifts? Have you ever gotten one of those gifts that was so like you, that someone presented to you, and you only use it on special occasions? And it's like, it's so precious that you don't even want anybody to see it. You ever have a gift like that? Something so precious to you that you can't see this. Don't touch it. I'll let you look at it, but don't touch. Have you ever got a gift like that? I mean, I think we all have. Mine goes to the Roy Campanella card, the 1956 Roy Campanella card. Now, I never got to see Roy Campanella play, but I was a catcher in baseball, and Roy was one of my, Bill Dickey, Yogi Berra. And I have all these cards of all these famous catchers, and someone got me that, and that was a gift. And you can come and look at my baseball card collection, but you can't look at them. And there's other ones I have a million baseball cards. I'll let you look at some of them, but some of them you're not going to see. They're so precious. What other kind of gift? I mean, I think we've all had those wonderful gifts in our life that is so precious to us. And it's amazing to me when you think about the one gift that we need to share. The greatest gift of all. Could someone play the first song?
do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care, don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Came to your door, you left him out on the streets. Open up, and give yourself away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God's calling, and you're the one. Like Johnny Run, he's told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Oh, can't you see it's such sin? The world is sleeping in the dark, that the church just can't fight, 'cause it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well? Can't even get out of bed. Oh, Jesus rose from the dead. Come on, get out of your bed. How can you be so numb not to care? Job's done. You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Don't close your eyes, don't pretend the job's done. Come away, come away, come away with me, my love. Oh, come away from this mess. Come away with me, my love.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We ask you to open our hearts. Father, we ask that you would show us what we need to do. Let us not be asleep in the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't want this to be offensive. I was going to say that earlier, and I apologize. This is not something that Bill has down. Bill doesn't know all the answers. Bill screws up every day. But this started with me around three to five years ago. I was in my office and at home, and this song came up on YouTube, and I started listening to it. Now, I knew it from the 70s, And I shared it with the elders and said, someday I'm going to do a sermon on this. And a few weeks ago, it showed back up on YouTube, and I've been listening to it ever since, and I think it speaks to something. It's a powerful song. It talks about that the world is living in the darkness. It's asleep in the dark. And we can't fight it because we're asleep in the light. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? You know, I think a lot of times for us, it's us. How many times have you heard that I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? It's mine. I have a personal walk. I made my personal decision that we turn this whole life into this inner perspective idea that it's just me and God. That's all that's out there is just me and God. That we don't really care. We forgot what Christ has done for us. You know, Paul calls it in Romans 5 the free gift of salvation. It's amazing to me when we think about this, that here we have this amazing gift. It's kind of like my Roy Campanella card that's so precious to me, but I won't share it. I mean, how often do we go out and share the Word of God? Now, I know I'm on this kick. I get on kicks, and there's where I run. Aaron's laughed. Aaron knows all about it. It reminds me of a story. There was this lady who was taking a first aid course, okay? And the course was a couple weeks long, and during one of the class times, the instructor asked the lady, he said, has anybody had the chance to use anything that we've learned here in first aid? And this lady, she was so proud. She stood up and said, I have. He goes, go ahead, tell the class. Well, there was this horrible car accident right in my front yard. And I ran out from the house and there was bodies all over. And she said, I ran over. I sat down in the grass. I put my head between my knees so I wouldn't pass out. So focus on what's wrong introspectively. It's like throwing a guy a piece of rope from the Market Street Bridge this far. Here, God bless you. Hope you can reach it. But we're not doing it. What's wrong? What's wrong with us that we're not sharing this amazing gift of God? Are we doing it? I mean, maybe we all are. Maybe it's just me. We know the truth. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. We know that our sins are covered. We're constantly looking at our own life, turning everything inward and not looking outward. I'm going to share, I told Jenny, she called me this week, and I said, I'm going to share a little bit of what you said last week because I think it's profound. She said, you know, I'm. She was upset because she's allowed her kids, her older kids, I guess, that she didn't want to hurt their feelings. All I want them to be is happy. Well, I did a word study on happy in the Bible. Guess what? Happy isn't in the Bible. But there's joy. There's joy. Happiness is fading, but joy is everlasting. Emotions are real, but are we living on emotions? I don't really care if my kids were happy. You can ask them. I'd rather have them sad. They were in their room. We went to a funeral yesterday, and there was a lot of sadness there. People were crying. But this man, Grandpa Dick, this man changed an entire family. The way that he brought Christ into this family changed them. There was sadness, But I will tell you, there was joy because everybody knew that Dick is with his Lord. You know, so we can have happiness. Happiness is okay, but I don't want my kids, you know, it doesn't matter if it's my wife. I don't care that she's happy. I really don't. I want her to have joy of the Lord because that's everlasting. That's what's going to get us over the hump. That's when something really drastic happens in our life. Happiness is not there. It doesn't show up. But the joy of the Lord is what sustains us. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 15. You'll understand. I'm kind of going a different direction now. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by the word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel, and thus I've aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I will not build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, they would who have no news of him shall see, and they have not heard shall understand. For this reason I often prevented from coming to you, but now with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you wherever I go to Spain, whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there to you. Now, Paul's planning this trip to Rome, but there's a couple different places that are mentioned here. Jerusalem, where the church originally started, and to this place called Illyricum. I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. And Illyricum is modern-day former Yugoslavia, which is an oxymoron. Modern-day former Yugoslavia. So Paul went from Jerusalem to Yugoslavia and everywhere in between, and he's headed to Spain, and I don't even know if Spain was on the map at that point. Remember, the earth is flat at this point. I'm not sure if the earth was, or Spain was actually it was a territory, but it wasn't a kingdom of anything. But he's headed to this dark region to spread the gospel. I looked up some statistics. There are 7.5 billion people on earth today. There's 360 million in the United States. Pennsylvania has 12.8 million. Lycoming County has 115,000. And just in the Williamsport general area, South Williamsport, Little Sauk, Montoursville, Garden View, Linden, right around 50,000 people. A lot of people. Wow. The good news or bad news is that there's 2.2 billion Christians. It could be good news, but it might be bad news. Because it's around 30%. Around 30% of the world population is Christian. Now, the good news is that it's quadrupled in the last 100 years. So I kind of looked at that and I thought, well, geez, that means if 362 million means there's about 110 million Christians in the United States out of 360. Means there's about 4,000 Christians, 4 million Christians in Pennsylvania out of 12 million. Now, I know I'm a little off there, but means there's about 40,000 Christians in Lycoming County, the largest county in Pennsylvania. We have 40,000 Christians. And in Williamsport, where there's a church on every corner, we have 15,000 Christians. 15,000. What are we doing wrong? What is wrong with us that we're not packing this place? The world is aching. The song tells us that there's something going on here. There's something wrong with our society. It's looking for something. And yet we're not, it's up to us. Why aren't we out on the streets? You know, it's difficult. I think there's probably a million different ways that we could attack this. I think Godspell. Lori, do you mind if I share what I shared earlier? Lori was in our meeting before church, and I think Godspell is amazing. The first time I watched it was 1972. I've had two or three different albums. I have the movie on CD and cassette. I've watched the movie. I've seen the play on Broadway, off Broadway, in this area. I love Godspell. That changed my life. That was the one thing that spoke to me. It was the parables of Matthew. It was wow. But that got me to think, wow, this Jesus dude is real. Crazy. But that play changed my life. That's what God used for me. So I think plays are great. I think this is going to be an amazing opportunity for us to witness. But I think so often within our churches, we're worried about the color of the carpet. And I'm just picking on, well, geez, I don't like this piece of tape there. Let's have a meeting. But we meet over silly stuff. I think we're so inner perspective. Are we trusting God? Would you play the next song, please?
Renew a right spirit within me.
close your eyes and worship Him. Create in me a clean heart.
Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God. And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from Thy presence.
Cast me not away from Thy presence, O Lord.
Take not Thy Holy Spirit.
Another one of those powerful songs. In Matthew, Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." Now, God asks us to go out into the world and to preach the gospel. Now, I don't know where that world is for you. Maybe we got missionaries going out this year, and I'm so happy that the youth are going. We've always sent out a lot of missions in this place, and I've always been excited about that. But your mission might be your neighbor. It might be your workplace. It might be, but you know, it could be just Williamsport or wherever, but the mission field is there. And the problem is, how do we do it? Well, I think this is telling us. First, we have to ask God to create a new heart within us. You know, David wrote this, and he was serious. Lord, create in me this new passion, this new heart, that I want to serve you. I think the key to that, to me, do you remember when you were saved? Do you remember the joy that you had? Do you still have that joy? Do you still have that enthusiasm? I remember when I first became a Christian, Dave Meckbeck and I became Christians about the same time. And Dave said that he was walking down the street and he was looking in windows, and he kept seeing this guy smile back at him. He says, "I'm a guy that never smiled." And he said he finally realized it was him smiling back. And that whole enthusiasm when I first became saved, it was right after Christmas in 1978. I remember going home and telling my father, and calling all of my friends and telling them, "I just received Jesus." They all thought I was nuts. And I was going out telling everybody that I've been saved. I found Jesus, even though he wasn't lost. And I remember someone telling me, "Don't worry, you'll mature. You'll lose this. Don't worry. It'll fade. This too will pass." And I thought, I don't want this to pass. I want this passion to tell people about Jesus. It's so important for us to not forget the joy of that salvation. You know, David's at, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." That was the happiest times of our lives. Don't we want to share that? Don't we want to see the 5.2 billion people saved? I mean, that's a lot of people. Do you know there's 180,000 new births every day in the world? Now, you take a third of that, 120,000 are going to die eternally. That's horrible. It's a sad statement. Matthew 9, it says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest.'" We can see that it's out there. But how do we do it? How do we change our life to make this something that, I mean, God didn't ask us to go out into the world. He has commanded us. He has said, you are to go out into the world and preach the gospel, no matter where that is. There are 157,000 different linguistic groups in the world. That's crazy. And even within groups, there's different speaking groups within a group. That's crazy. How do we go about changing the world? Would you play the final song?
Make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to. No empty words and no white lies. No token prayers, no compromise. I want to shine the light you gave through your Son. You sent to save us from ourselves and our despair. It comforts me to know you're really there. I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I'll have to trust and just believe what you to take me away. I want to die and let you give your life to me so I might live and share the hope you gave to me, the love that set me free. I want to tell that I have made up inside my head. Your God, the Son, you've risen from the dead. Oh, I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes. Give your life to me so I might live
and share the hope you gave to me. I want to share the love that set me free.
You know, the only way that I know that we can do this is by we do what he says in this song, that we make our lives a prayer to God, that we ask him to change us. I have never done anything successful in my life except when God is involved. You know, I as you can tell, I love Keith Green. But I think the words that he puts down on music speaks. And I hope that they've spoken to you today, that we can take our eyes off ourselves and look into the world that's dying. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for you. We thank you for your Son who has set us free. Father, we ask that you would continue to minister to us, that you would create a new heart in us, Lord, that you would help us to take our eyes off ourselves, that we could die to ourselves so that we would serve you. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul.